This is a production of Cornell University.
The time is now 4:45 p.m. We are calling the February 13th SA meeting to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
He's here.
Here.
She's here.
So it's going to be like 2 minutes late.
She's excused. Hittinger is unexcused, but he'll be here later.
Alright, great. 22 voting members present. First order of business is going to be approval of the February 6th meeting minutes. There's been a motion to approve. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes are approved. I know it's the meeting before break, but I need you all to... Alright, now we're going to move on to open microphone EVP ballot.
Good afternoon, everyone. If there's anyone in the audience today who'd like to come forward and address the assembly who's not currently on our agenda, please feel free to do so right now. Seeing none, open microphone is now closed.
And fabulous. Next, moving on to announcements and reports, we're going to have here an Appropriations Committee update VP block. What'd you think?
No.
Did you guys meet?
Yeah, okay. We started looking at Authentic Speaker Group. We started communicating with them.
Next is the Community Life Committee update, Representative Stefanko.
Not too much to report on. We're going to be looking at the initiative and answering today, organizing drivers on campus. I think there's been more.
Sounds good. Communications Committee update, VP Harris.
So we have some almost exciting news. Amit's been working really hard with Cornell Dining to get the app launched. So we basically just bought the software and we're figuring out how to get it on the App Store. So hopefully within the next 2 or 3 weeks, we should have an app launched. So as we get more details, more on photos of the app, and I can help us send it around to you guys, we'll be on the site to move it. And on another note, this week's organization spotlight, I'm going to talk about the Thaddeus Community
Congratulations. Fantastic. Was there anything that you wanted to say? Or no? Is there anything that you wanted to add? Yes, no, maybe. You can. You're good? Well, congratulations either way. And again, as we say every week, those organizations that are recognized, the Award Spotlight, we are fully committed to supporting you in whatever way we can. Ian, did you have anything else to add? Oh, good. All right, great. But congratulations again. Next on the agenda is going to be the C Update Representative Lou. I'm also going to let you do your SADAC update since you have mic.
We had a SADAC meeting last Friday at 8 a.m. I've got some breakfast in time. But otherwise, it went really well. We discussed financial barriers and access programs, which President Porter actually asked us to do. We looked at different programs, off-campus programs, academic licenses. The program that
it's on the agenda, so you're going to actually present the resolution. Great. Sounds good. Next is the dining committee update, Representative Kitchen. Look forward to seeing it. Next is an elections committee update, Gail Yumogia. Bendari, the Psychomania update.
So,
Sounds good. Pass it right on down to Rep. Hudson for your LGBT Ally Ambassador Program update.
So, as you know, for 2013, Ally Ambassador Program is
fantastic, great work. And then Trustee Gidman. Thanks for that. And then finally, just a final reminder, all of our Presidents Gordon and VP Murphy are going to be visiting the SA meeting next week on the 20th. You guys got notifications from me or last week and also a follow-up this week about submitting the questions. As of now, that period for submitting questions is now over. Because of the volume of questions that came in, we are going to do the format a bit differently. There are a lot of overlapping questions, so we're basically trying to consolidate some of those. And we're going to kind of do it like the UA does it, in the sense that I have some broad topic areas that a lot of you wanted to address, and he's going to come in and speak on those points and then hopefully answer the questions that you guys had within that presentation. And if there's any time left, you know, his responses can be a little long-winded sometimes. If there's any time left, we'll have a few of the other questions asked as well. So I'll send you an email just going over that again. So that's it. So with that, and we are 2 minutes ahead of schedule, good for that. So I'm going to turn it over to our lovely Gina Giambattista to give an introduction to our special guest today. At this time, I'm going to ask you all to get off your phone. I see you. Get off your phone, close your laptop, do all of that, and give me your undivided attention. Thank you. Take it away. Yeah, we can't hear you.
Prepared, I can answer other it's a lot of people who could be making a living, and we're going to try to kind of thoughtfully direct how we do that, but elaborating on it is creativity and freedom, and so hopefully each and every one of you can think of some way that you can help with that buzz and our conversation. Technically, we're putting it on the 6th, September 2014, December 2015 as our window of what we consider our special competitive year. We're going to be doing a lot of things on campus, and I'm going to get into that because I think that you're probably the most interested in. We're going to celebrate around the world with a couple of alumni affairs and development. We're going to be holding events, some virtual, some on the ground, around the world, where we're having on alumni bases. And then we want to put in your home this flag, particularly built for alum, but maybe we want college to be celebrating Texas Centennial. We want the regional club to be celebrating Texas Centennial. So some things will happen to the center, some things will happen around the campus to colleges, and then we want a lot of it to be individually directed. And we have a lot of exciting opportunities with that. Just a few dates. So inside that long window that we're calling our Texas Centennial celebration, we're going to kick it off on campus with homecoming weekend in October. That is also what's called our Teach Council weekend. So we know we're going to have a lot of people back in campus. And so we're putting the homecoming bridge, game, and all the activities we have around homecoming with the Trustee Council meeting. That is a big kickoff. And so we will see and hear a lot more about that and how we get involved. And then on the bookend of that is the next October at Trustee Council, in April, which is, you guys know what Charter Day is, should I talk about what Charter Day is? The day that we actually got the charter to become Cornell University. And Gina probably was excited to me. I think it's actually April 23rd. We're celebrating April 24th to April 27th, and there is going to be a 3-day huge celebration on campus. I did bring along a script sheet if you want to hear it in some detail, the kind of things that can happen, but it's safe to say that just about every day you've ever attended a lesson, we're going to have a kind of session going on. There will be everything from music performances, art performances, to having inside and having outside, large panel discussions around very topical. Some things that have to do with Cornell, some things that don't have to do with what we're doing here and happening in the world. So there will be this huge 3-day celebration of having on campus, and that's what I put on right now. And we're going to try to come back because it's really going to be worth it. A lot going on. And in between those days, that's going to be that closing date. All of the colleges are picking focused times of year. We're calling them focused months, but they're not holding the 30 days anymore. to show you that we're going to create all of these little tiles, which is a complete picture with photographs, you know, sort of standing, things happening, and things like that. And then we'll be available along the way for everybody to be able to sort of see, hear, and participate. You will be able to create your own concepts. You can create images, you can create videos, you can create stories, and making the tiles and putting out there for everybody. So it's a little bit of practice in ways that the one thing. We hope you all love all of that, because we want everybody to be doing that. I'll stop briefly while I have to switch to a link tile now for you. If you have any questions about that, and you can see if you want to say.
Any questions at this time?
Okay, so for SME, now, just, I just thought that you might just sort of see it. So we kind of I want to show you a few things that we're doing here. This is a calendar, so right now this is a national calendar, and it's all the communications you need to know. You get to advocate. One of the things that central communications wants to do is give everybody a snapshot of things that are happening on campus. So we're working with many different constituents to figure out what's going on campus and then lining things up, figuring out how to tell the story, that kind of thing. So this is a calendar that is very much focused other than helping you see that we are beginning to pull together all the events, what AAB is doing, what University Communications is doing, we have focused on for all of the colleges. We have slides that go over to give you an idea here. Inside we can, this is where AAB is going to go. We're going to be in Hong Kong, Boston. Inside we can have plans and activities so that you can sort of see that not only are we going to get down to the Let us know.
So we have a few more minutes reserved for questions. That's perfect timing, actually. And right now I'm going to ask if there are any questions. And that also includes audience members. If you have any questions for Tracy, please feel free to just raise your hand and we'll come up and speak. First is Rep. Ali Khan, followed by Rep. Sal.
First, thank you for coming. So two questions. One, so what kind of things can we do to help you with that? And second one is, we're not on a very good situation, and that we can have use to help others, but that's prevent and to communicate with our online kind of students. I was wondering if you were going to have a historical context category for official calendar that we can recognize things like the Wall Street Hall takeover and the Hall of State.
Yes, so let's talk about students. So there's so many things that students can do, and they're small and they're big. And so one would be to sort of give a discussion to them out there, and I mean that in a very real way, attending events. When you sponsor events inside this window, put the 150 on it and sort of draw that out of the
followed by Drucker.
So, yeah, I can get it wrong. the title on in, I think, March. We're then, oh, look at this, June assets. So they launched on March, in March. In July, we're going to do the public launch of the Sesame site, which is a little bit of that coming out by the EU. And in September,
Did you have a question too? Todd, I'm sorry. Since there's an audience member, let you speak first. Yeah, you're going to have to speak into the mic because we record and we can't hear you. I'm sorry. I'm going to come.
Hi. I have a question about whether we have any regarding how we take the bar on social network platforms. So we are trying to be very inclusive, and we do have looking on our website and through all of our properties, the official things, the official Twitter, the official Instagram, the official Facebook, and you know, we do have all that very well represented and woven into our web design. If what you're asking me is that you'll be doing a lot and how you get into our enforcement, that is what I'm going to do. I have to ask Shane or you can have it. I do think that it would be great to get the college to the world and to ride and Shane to overcome some of the biggest but we absolutely realize that the buzz that we create on social media more than the traditional sort of delivery that we create. So we'll have a very strong preference. The question is, do you have a preference that you want to leverage each other? And that might be a very strong position for us to get that whole team involved. So that's not all right. Okay.
Great question. Thank you. And then the final question, since I did promise only have you hold you in here until 5:30, is going to go to Rep. Drucker.
And a lot of other dynamics. So if you're in
do with Microsoft, which is one of the things we're trying to do is make sure that people who don't have, you know, their day-to-day business, planning the events they do every year, or planning the activities they do, that they, that it occurs to them that they're doing this event inside of their centennial year, and that, you know, we have some things that can help them, we can amplify their event, and we can, you know, we can bring something to it. So we're trying to make people think about doing that. Because if you sit on a committee, you know, if you're on a school committee, for instance, ask that question of the committee, what are you doing? And that type of thing, and that's how it's getting done. And I think that this campus is really large, and there's so much going on, that if we can get into people's minds that they should simply have to filter, we're celebrating 150 years, is that relevant to what we're doing? We'll end up with just, you know, maybe an unbelievable.
Well, thank you so much again for coming and sharing all this wonderful, I have a lot of notes down here. So all this information that you shared, and I'm sure I'll be following up with Gina. Of course, we'll probably be debriefing about this in the office tomorrow. But I would encourage all the college reps, all of you who sit on your internal college student governments also, just to kind of make sure that you're kind of in, or getting involved with these communications plans and things like that, so you guys know what's going on. You can share it with other people. But thanks again for coming.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much. Thank you, guys. All right, and young lady who asked the question, if you can make sure that you connect with Ryan so you can get your name and class here in for the minutes, just so we don't mess up for the public. All right, great. We're going to move on to new business. So I'm going to turn this Resolution 50 back to Africana. So the sponsors could please head over to the table, and EBP Alex, I'm going to turn it over to you for introduction.
Okay, because Jordan isn't here today, I'm going to be giving you a quick reminder as my elementary teacher. New business. For all resolutions that are new business, SA members and community members should use this time to ask questions and make suggestions to the officer on their piece of legislation. Comments may not be argumentative in nature, and questions must seek factual answers. Back to Africana is a recommendation. It will require a majority of SA members present to pass. Because it's a recommendation, the community is entitled to two collective votes. Both community votes will be allocated to whichever side has a collective majority.
Very well done. Some detail too. I like it. All right, for sponsors, I'm going to give 10 minutes of what I told you for presentation, and then we'll get to the resolution.
Thank you very much. So, thank you for the presentation.
And the big two categories of exposure on the library as possible, as well as the current library.
with big background, he was utilizing it for, and all those findings with that, we included a lot of evidence, just a lot of background sheets, we believe in the father and really want to use it to make it.
First of all, I'm pleased to invite you. And so, good evening, everybody. So my name is Eric Fisher, I'm here from the Hospital. And I've been in the library for about 10 years now. I was actually a grad student back in the early 80s or 80s. So I kind of know about chronological library, kind of soon. It's always been the only library on campus, and I think a lot of people cherish that, you know, with regards to study. And I've always heard women from people tell me, even when I became the director in 2002, students would tell me to put suggestions in the mailbox, suggestion box to extend the hours. And it's a budgetary issue. And at some point, I was able to do that, especially with the Saturday hours. But I've always had that feeling and word of mouth from people that there would be a need for something longer. And as a result of meeting with Thaddeus and Lindsay, one thing I figured out to do was to add additional 4 hours on Sunday. So rather than being open from 4 to 11 now, on Sunday we're open from 12 to 11. And keeping that permanent is going to hinge on if the library is being used. And the good news is, with the anecdotal information we have so far, it is being used for 4 hours. And then, can you talk to us about the initial person safety to, you know, kind of where we're located? We did a survey over a 2-week period, and over 141 people responded, and it was a mixture of some of the undergrad, mostly undergrad, but also some grad students and faculty. And excuse me for reading it, I just want to make sure I get this data right. Some of the key findings that we found were the majority of respondents, undergrad and grad students, is 89%. Sophomores and seniors account for 47% of the respondents. All college campuses represented in the response except for the law school and the 59 of the respondents indicated that the visit used the Alpha County Library once or twice a week for up to 4 hours. Another key finding is that respondents reported using the library most often in the evening between 8 and 11 and 34%. The afternoon between 2 and 5, 29%. And the library appears to have the smallest number between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. And faculty were most likely to use the hours of the library during business hours at other times to get that between 9 and 5. Activities within the library by the respondents were divided into 4 categories: intellectual pursuits, productivity activities, using library services, and relaxation activities. The majority of activities reported were academic pursuits, that's 57%. Such as people doing papers, studying, and it's not just, I guess also, it's not only the kind of students that use it, the students from a multi-gender background are using it from all different fields. It's interesting enough, one of the things we found was 33% of the students were from arts and sciences, 15 from Cal, another interesting 11 from Iowa, and 6% from engineering. There's just a couple of statistics in terms of the type of students that we're using our library. Top 3 cited reasons for choosing the library were quiet, obvious, and its location. And then finally, nearly 40% suggested that the one thing that changed was the hinging on spending the hours at the library during the weekdays and weekends, 39%. The second highest suggestion was to maintain a library operation as is, because people might not be in the family environment that we created. And I think the survey really is surprising. And again, we did this. I had a partner within the library communications team. She helped me draft the question. It was a one-page survey question. It was only 7 questions. One of them was open-ended. And that question, if you can change one thing, what would it be? But like I said, it wasn't surprised that many people did desire that to extend the hours that and again, we've done that on a temporary basis, and now we're going to try to do something a little bit more permanent. Thank you.
How much time do we have? You have about 3 minutes left, and there is a speaker system.
Okay, I just
wanted
to kind of address probably the questions we received. Right now, we have a temporary basis that our foundation is, after all, our hours from 12 to 11, but we want to make sure that this is, because right now, we're Harvard University of Tolman that are applying to that student work from Harvard. So we want to make just kind of the official line of what we're working on in California, a library of Harvard campus. It is not only for graduate students, but also for graduate students. And in college in 14, I actually put in terms of resolution and African studies, university established the first PhD program in African studies. So it's really important that we have this library that is open for many hours on and for graduate students.
Fantastic. With that, I'm going to open up the speakers list right now. First on there is Rep. Bonan, followed by VP Block.
And so thank you very much for coming. I have a couple of questions. So number one, we deal with undergraduate students, so this is a concern of graduate students, so we need to contact the DCHA to these days that deal with the issues. Secondly, in a campus of over 20,000 students, I'm not surprised that people use the library, but I was wondering, since last semester or earlier this semester when you got a resolution, you said that the reason for not accepting the hours was that there was not enough demand. So I want to know, after this survey and after the student survey, how many of the students are people that attend the library? So, it's normal that I want to keep it open, but I also know if demand is increased and what is the demand like during the opening hours. And especially if it was already known that something is often during some day, if the money went there, where would it come from and what consequences would that have? Thank you.
Thank you. Money is the first discussion to the library because the academic library is just part of the student library system. So all the budgetary things in terms of staff, elections, everything comes to get along. That's the first question. And as far as the demand that she asked people, so the survey kind of just verified what people were telling with regards to suggestions and word of mouth. So with that, the Lindsay and Australia came to me and I've had conversations with other students and they were telling me, I live on North Campus. These are undergraduates, by the way. And they said the only reason why I'm not coming here is kind of library because you guys are school too early because we don't know what happens with it, you know. So, and she indicated that other people have too that youth were sort of out of longer out of the library more because they felt that it was such a hassle if you're living in North Campus and travel all the way to Central Campus or one of those other locations to use the library. Thank you. Did I answer that question?
Yeah, with regards to the students,
the NASA program was extended a couple of years ago, so our number of graduates coming to that kind of library actually decreased somewhat. But we do have PhD programs out that use the library, and I'm anticipating once we get full swing this fall, the PhD program where we're going to have to kind of grad students there again, that's going to go up.
Yeah. Next our speaker is VP Block, followed by Rep. Lutzer.
I move to make this business for the day.
Second. It's been a motion moving to business of the day. It's been seconded. Any dissent? Seeing none, it is business of the day. Open for discussion.
So thank you for coming, obviously. It looks like you guys have done very good job actually just pushing this through and making it happen. I guess my question for you guys is what would success look like for you? What sort of metric would you use to understand whether this is successful? Because I kind of agree with Representative Bonanni. It sounds like there are people who want this to be open longer. But how do we know whether or not it's to work? But I guess what are we going to be looking at over the next couple of months? How will the library system especially be looking at it?
Thank you for your question. And for me, it's just if people in the library are using it because and again, I went to the library purposely on Sunday doing that and I was conscious of people going on. And we would get statistics through the gate. We can actually do a head count for them at a certain time to see how many people that specifically would see the body of the chair. That would be successful. And to really realize that half the kind of library is a library, just like open, just like command, all the other libraries. We're not as big as they are, but we are big as well.
And those are the pretty standard evaluation measures that are used across the library. Yeah. Go ahead.
I know that I have spoken in the past where more students can get a better feedback when I'm playing university on Sunday at noon. That's kind of a good thing, as well as if you get someone to come eventually
consider the kind of issues you'll have about and the kind of stuff you want to apply. So all those decisions are going to have to include as well.
And the other thing, I listened almost not only talking about the seats within that kind of library, but the other kind of center, because the center allows us to open up the classrooms and then open purposes for the portfolio, so we can have a visual shift. We're not only talking about the floor footprint of the library, but we're talking about the footprint of the center. So, and people do use it, especially when studying, if you see it, we want to be able to do that throughout the whole year.
Fantastic. Rep Lustig followed by Rep Andari.
Alright, so thank you guys for coming out. I just want to let you guys know I really like this sort of solution. Another fact, you can imagine that you're going to be at the time center, checking it out a little bit because it is their own library on the campus. And also, another point on this, I saw you guys promotional video on YouTube, and that honestly was very well done. It's a great facility, it's very quiet, and
Rep Andari followed by VP Tulsi. VP Tulsi followed by Rep. Podemski.
I just want to thank you guys for what you did. I think you've done some really great work and there's a lot of progress that's been made. And I completely agree that a really popular academic studies library has a lot of value to both academic life. That said, I just was wondering about the actual order of the mission. You say that the airport is all the essay recommending that after the library continue to spend hours to counter your each the possibility of spending future hours doing the fit. And so everything that's like essay recommend that you keep the possibility of spending future hours doing the fit. Does that mean that you want to consider possibly keeping them early? I was wondering if you want to use any more full text recommendations that maybe essay recommend that you extend future hours to continue to extend future hours.
Okay, great. Next is Rep. Kadensky, followed by Rep. Stefanko.
I think that's a really good job.
Next is Rep. Stefanko, followed by Rep. Thompson. Rep. Stefanko, followed by Rep. Thompson. Just a minute.
Great, thanks for coming. You spoke kind of anecdotally about students that don't study at the Africana library, that they might study there at the outdoors. And I guess in the survey, does that cover students that don't normally study at the Africana library, or that getting at the Africana library, or students specifically study there?
No. The purpose of the survey was to really to look at the services that we provide to people to see that there wasn't only, and actually there were no questions in there, because we didn't want to meet people. So there were no questions in there asking do you want to live or not on this thing. But that was an open-ended question. The open-ended question was if you had something to change about our kind of life, and what would it be? And we also decided not to put it online because we wanted to serve the people that walked through the door. If we had to probably do something different to dig out those that other data in terms of what you're doing.
Next is Rep. Thompson, followed by Shorty Gitlin. Next is Trustee Gitlin, followed by Rep. Lewis.
Hey guys, I think that this is a great idea, and I would encourage your students to benefit from it. I just have a few questions regarding the survey, and whether it's students and how the survey was worded, because if you, how would this affect whether students, like if a library in Central Campus would be open for longer, would students ask, would they rather be Catherwood or Old Yield for longer as opposed to this? And one, if this does stay open longer, how does that affect the cost of other libraries that will be open later? I guess that's the first question I have to think of.
The survey is really like the target for our needs at the kind of library. I don't know if the whole different thing is about Catherine Library, if they just, they're going to be open. But that's just really for IRS, so they can never be like car access.
No,
the survey was really not about services. It really wasn't asking about how the library is. I think that's what we're talking about. That would probably call for a whole different type of survey, a different type of question that we're going to. Because you're talking about people who may not be using that kind of library. And I think we have to look at all of this, these other units. Because I think if you talk to Central Campus, you do have a 24/7 hour library in the building, and if you're talking long library, for example, they have access to their library 24/7. You know, so now you're talking to the region on the other side of campus, which you don't have, which is only running until 11 p.m. So we're looking at not having this 24/7 library, but something more feasible, something that we can do that is open up a little bit of the library.
There's been a call to question. It has been seconded. Any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to go into a roll call vote. Hold that thought. This is a recommendation. So the community is entitled to two collective votes that Sarah mentioned earlier. So to the community, when I ask you to vote, if you are in favor of Resolution 50, which would be recommending to extend the hours of Africana Library from 4 to 11 to 12 p.m. to 11 p.m., you would raise your hand in the affirmative. If you will vote against the resolution, then you would say no. And if you choose not to vote, then you raise your hand when I ask for abstention. Make sense? Too fast? Great. Alright, so, all those in favor of Resolution 50, please raise your placard, or hand. Alright. 2, 4, 5, 6, 7. You're also entitled to vote, by the way, your ex officio, as Gina. All those opposed? All those who abstain? Alright, so let the record show that two votes will be allocated in the affirmative for Resolution 50. Now to the assembly members. Go via roll call, please.
Yes.
Felix?
Yes.
Khadija?
Yes.
Dondari?
Yes.
Vlach?
Yes.
Renami?
Okay.
Chen?
Yes.
Drucker?
Yes.
Kadensky?
Yes.
Harris?
Yes.
Henderson?
Yes.
Hittinger?
Not here.
Yes. Hudson?
Yes.
Kamenis?
Yes.
Lou?
Yes.
Did
you guys?
Yes. Mom? Malari?
Lula.
Not here.
Did I go?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Thompson? Lucky?
Yes.
Zadra? Orson? Zadra?
He stepped out. Down. He did. Did he not step out? I'm crazy. Yeah. Okay. Just making sure. By a vote of 21-0-1, including the two community votes in the affirmative, to take it up to 23-0-1, our resolution 50 passes. I'll forward this to the president and the university librarian Ann Kinney. Thanks so much for coming out and being here today with us. Alright, so we're going to move on to the next resolution, Resolution 53 regarding the proposed final exam schedule. We're going to do this in 10 minutes. If I wanted to. Ask me questions like that after the meeting, please. But, Resolution 53, yeah, that would be easy.
I got put on the list.
Do you want it?
What? Those of you who have, those of you on the end, actually, can you guys kind of share the final exam schedule or mock up and share the other ones? Do you have extras? Can you let the people in the audience have the scenarios? I'm going to get 3 minutes to present.
So I'm not surprised we have mathematical problems.
But look, I really love her respecting the younger men's family, because if this is something I can really do about, they really had it that they wanted to do. They wanted to start the calendar change this semester. But I think that what we're going to see is this isn't going to be successful. You know, when it becomes like a significant cost, we're shortening the senior week by a number of days, we lost students, of course, and we're shortening the interviews. So, and I really want to urge you guys to keep looking at this issue. I think as far as the scenario, you know, I think that scenario number two is pretty clearly based on the metrics, is the best one for seniors. I think it's also the worst for seniors. And actually, as far as space safety, it would be, don't worry about seniors because we'll be able to reduce with our new formula all of these, contacts in 3 to 24 hours. And we'll also be able to ensure that nearly all seniors will be done early in the exam. So it's safe to have, the contained amount of days for seniors in the early schedule. So again, you know, not surprisingly, that's not what doesn't seem to be a game. So I think that's just something to keep in mind, which is that the registrar is being a lot of things during this process. It doesn't seem like it really happens,
So I'm going to move to the...
Can I just add one more thing earlier, please? Also, the impact in general is also over 3 years to registrar, so it's very difficult if you have any feedback on that, or how you really need to do this, so
it's great. And we're going to move this to, I'm going to move to make this business of the day, since I think that is there any dissent to that at all? Seeing none, this is going to be business of the day. Just FYI for everyone, I'm not too happy about this process, just in terms of timeline. I actually just received, the scenario yesterday, and it is due for being published tomorrow morning, so we must give our feedback, in this window. So, tomorrow at 8 a.m. and I must forward this feedback. So we need to choose one of the scenarios today. So actually what we're going to do before we actually pass the resolution is we need to decide collectively which scenario we're going to endorse. Yes.
When you decide which scenario, how do they take that into account and what does that actually mean? Are they going to take the scenario that you guys set down?
Well, essentially, so the way it was framed was that they're soliciting feedback from each of the constituent assemblies. So the faculty senate basically already gave their input long before this, but Monet is the president of GPSA, we just got these scenarios yesterday. So GPSA met Monday, they did not have these scenarios, so they could not actually vote on them. So, you know, I'm not even gonna speculate. We have an opportunity for feedback at this point, and this is it's the rest of it is in the memo. I'm going to give people 30 seconds to say their piece on this. So first is Vivi Tolkien.
So I want to advocate very strongly against the senior ones. I think that I don't know if it was today, but I won't actually get to the lead because...
Can you answer to the scenario number? I'm sorry.
Scenario number 3.
Okay.
And the reason for that is that I don't think it's worth helping seniors that are giving seniors a better one just in the final year. It's going to extra burn level for 3 other years, especially if it's not really going to alleviate any of the stress because it's going to just use the next. I do like to go across the finish early. I just want people to think about the fact also, I finished number 2, I like number 2. However, remember that this might dissuade some students from taking higher levels of law classes, seminar class classes, professors, which I think are really important for anyone with a graduate education. And I think this is a space you can do that as motivation.
questions about that. That said, I think though, I don't think that's going to be a huge factor.
Next is.
The purpose of this application is for mental health. At the end of the day, mental health making sure that students don't get distracted by free and regard to other things. So trying to minimize the space. Quite frankly, I'm appreciating all second semester of theory, you didn't see that you're wrong.
Or if you're 50, you know, you have a whole year. I already did the graduation thing. Next is VP Batista. Oh, here, I'm sorry.
I just think we agree with you, do not have too long. I think out of the sharing that we have, a layering of ideals, very best. Also, one thing to point out is in the second Google for scenario two, there's a deep amount of senior exam from the day Tuesday. So I think, is that not correct?
Part of the reason why we moved towards changing the calendar was that there was a big push during the administration by opening the February break. So by law, we have a number of days that we must teach the University of Cornell. Right now, we don't have to meet it, but the kind of starting point for negotiation when we are putting the president's day break, how do we change the calendar? And so there are various key levers to we have a starting date, we do want to change around graduation, and we're like always graduation, then we know our start date, or we don't know how to set up, we know our
end date,
and we know what we're going to have for every break, and we're going to change around.
Great. Did anybody audit in the, let's try English here. Did anybody in the audience have any questions at this point? You all are students also, so this affects you by and large. This is your schedule. I'm leaving. Next is Rep. Ma. I think Rep. Polycon has a resolution on the table today that addresses just that, so stay tuned. next is Rep. Endard. There's been a call to question. It's been seconded. Is there any dissent? Two people. there's been dissent. Seeing dissent, we're going to vote to vote. All those in favor of closing discussion and moving into a vote on the scenario, not the resolution, please raise your placard. Is there a point of information?
We're voting on the scenario, not the
resolution. On the scenario. That's what this discussion is on right now, choosing a scenario. Are you withdrawing your dissent? Never mind, no need to go to a vote. We're withdrawing the dissent. All right, so we're going to vote on the scenario. So the, out of the three you have in front of you, this is how this is going to work. I'm going to say, I'm going to go scenario by scenario. If you're in favor of scenario one, you'll raise your placard, and we'll see the votes in, so forth and so on. Got it? Great. All those in favor of scenario one, please raise your placard. All those opposed to scenario one, please raise your placard. What? I threw off my count. Alright, all those who abstain. Alright, scenario two. All those in favor of scenario two, please raise your placard. Grandma, you're abstaining from the last vote also, correct? I can't hear you either. Oh, abstain is when you're not voting. You can vote on any, on all of these. Abstaining on three. Got it. All right. 1, 2. Stop voting. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. All those opposed to scenario two. All those who abstain from voting in scenario two. 1, 2. Alright, that has the majority thus far. So, do people feel it's necessary to go into scenario three, or is that, or is everybody set on?
No.
Alright, do it in an appropriations way. So since that has garnered the most support by vote of 16-0-2, I'm not convinced that everybody voted, but okay. 16-0-2, that is the one that we're adopting, and so you can make your amendment now.
Okay. I would like to make a motion to amend, right where a large topic safety early in the body of the plan algorithm as a scenario that is most used.
Second.
That's the there's a motion to amend on the table. It has been seconded. So we're going to go into general discussion about that. There's been a call to question on the amendment. It's been seconded. Is there any defense? Seeing none, we are going to one time. There's been a call for unanimous consent on the amendment. Get that parliamentary procedure. Is there any defense to that? Seeing none, by unanimous consent, we're adopting that amendment. All right, back to general discussion on R53 in total. That includes the memo that was attached. Speaker's list is open. First, Rep. Hudson. Give the 30-second version of your angle.
I would like to say that the idea for this one would be that, you know, we're giving a narrow option amongst the policy decision party to me. So I think that we have more weight on this one. And I will say, I think I don't have a little pretty strong to finish the committee and the committee to hear from the record, is what I'm trying to say. And I just want to add a little more quickly that as person in later years, if you look at the success of this program, don't just figure out what scenario you want to increase in our community expertise, but also look at past years. You know, look at these 2015, 2016, how did that compare to 2013, 2012? Because I'd be very surprised if we managed to decrease the number of conflicts by reducing the length of the family.
Yeah. The other thing I should clarify for all of you, the university registrar herself is not in charge of the calendar that domain lies with the provost, just so we all clear. But the university registrar does set the final exam schedule. So just let's clarify all that. Next is Trustee Gitlin.
Vice President Block, I understand that you, like, you've been very involved in this since, I guess, my freshman year. And I think that you guys have done a terrific job, and I'm reading over this memo, and I'm just, in my conversations with students recently, I think there's a lot of misopinion about whether this calendar is actually good or bad. And I'm just a little concerned that this memo, though, is consistent with the way we've been presenting the calendar to you especially. I'm just concerned because I don't know if every single student shares the same view as you. I'm sure there are some people on the assembly also that are enjoying the fact that we have a great, and that's the first time. I'm just concerned that it's the first semester, so why go so strong if you don't know whether students actually support exactly what you're saying?
So, yeah, with any policy decision that the Assembly makes, there's always going to be people that support it, people that don't. At the end of the day, it's our opinion as a body, what do you think students think? Personally, I think it was great for your life. One quiz, it's kind of awkward way to put it. But I think that more than that, you have to take a hard line of stance, because if we're just going to say, well, you may or may not be upset at the fact that you ignored student opinion, that's not really going to impact that. And I think that at the end of the day, the most important thing to keep in mind is not whether or not students support or favor or against these changes, but the fact that students are largely going to be involved. And I think that that's the most critical thing to take out of it, which is that they really didn't care what the two undergraduate students had to say in the process. Whether the results of this or not are
for the community.
Dean Hubble.
Well, thanks very much, Jeff. I was on the committee as well, and good luck with what Jeff said. But it is a very complicated issue, and especially in the stress consideration of my answer to so recently structured at the moment. Now, I guess you could say that the fall semester, the spring semester are similar in the sense that we have two grades. And I think it will be important for us to see how this works out. It may not be in the right place, for example. I have, there's a group of administrators that meets monthly. It's called the Core Assessment Team, and basically it's a group that's charged to try to think about how we assess student outcomes and other things. And I requested this morning that the institution is planning to undertake an assessment of the calendar changes that we're now realizing. And I would invite all of you to think carefully about it over the next semester. How is it working? Does having this extra time off help? Kinds of ways and allow me to help us out. I know when we had a conversation about students, there was an argument that a compressed exam schedule would be beneficial for all folks and not least the students because they had more efficient ways or more efficient algorithms to put these things together. Well, we'll see. So this spreadsheet doesn't suggest that that's likely to be realized this time around. I agree with you. I mean, I think that even if a few students have to take two exams back to back, or have three exams in 24 hours, that's too many. It doesn't have to be kind of flexibility or consistency or avoid those kinds of difficulties. But it can help us have an adverse effect on the performance. If you walk from one exam to another on the same day, it doesn't take a lot of thought to realize that it's going to affect your grade. So, I'm here as a key advocate, so don't quote me on this, but I do think that you need to attend to what happens in the semester. If it's better, certainly report it. And if there are challenges that result from these changes, you ought to let us know, and we ought to ask the institution of student planning to look carefully at it. If you have measures you think of that they might apply,
Thank you so much.
I just want to ask you a little bit on that. I didn't see how the broad system works. The exchanges are extremely complicated. I think we need to spend 6 years figuring out all the constraints that we have, like lab, holiday, what gets interested in each school system, all sorts of things that are taken into account. So, it's not as easy as just saying, like, you link in one thing or something. So, but definitely, you guys want to talk about.
Great. So just a reminder, the memo, all of this information was sent out prior to the meeting. The memo itself actually is composed based on the feedback that was solicited after the registrar visited last semester when I asked all of you for all the feedback and all the comments basically that we got kind of put into one memo, one concise thing. It actually does not lambast the registrar for the calendar changes itself. It speaks about the sentiment of the assembly in 2012. Right. Yeah. So just to clarify that. Seeing as how the speaker's list has been extinguished, I'm waiting on a motion. There's been a call to question. It has been seconded. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we are going to go into a roll call vote just to drive the opinion home. Roll call vote on the calendar or changes. But as Brian's getting together, this is noted that this is a recommendation, and once again, the community is entitled to two collective votes. So all of the same principles as last time apply. All those in the community who are in favor of Resolution 53, please raise your hand. Oh, that does count. Count you too. Look at that. That's just y'all. All those. I can't roll call this community. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I thought you guys had it the whole time.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought that was what was in your hand. I thought you were reading the resolution. Seeing that, you don't have to exercise the right to vote if you don't want to, but all those ex officio members and community members who want to exercise that right to vote, if you are in favor of R53, please raise your placard or your hand at this time. All those opposed to R53. All those abstain. Vote by a vote of 8-0-1, let the record reflect that two collective community votes will be allocated to the affirmative side of R53. Now for the roll call vote for R53. Whenever you're ready, please.
Yes.
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 Harris?
Yes.
Anderson?
Yes.
Hudson?
Yes.
Men?
Yes.
Mom?
Yes.
Yes. Fantastic. Stop. We need to count. Please stop. Don't do that. People are counting. That really messes it up. By a vote of 23-0-1, the resolution passes. So before we start. Great. In the last 3 minutes, is Donovan here? Okay. I was going to suspend the rules and do him first because Donovan is here, and his actually requires another week. But in the meantime, in the last 3 minutes, we will hear R52. Hmm? No. Nice try though.
So I'd like to first start off by saying character you need Hubble when that, you know, 3 ATMs in one day for you doing this. This is a small but important scene in a fashion handbook. Exams and very close to talking to each other and conflicts are a reality question. But this does not only happen during final season, it happens throughout the year. This evolution changes the language in the classroom handbook to make sure that professors are urged to make accommodations to students who have more than 2 examinations in a 24-hour period. No matter during final season or mid-February, having 3 examinations in one day can be detrimental to students' performance and mental health. Furthermore, this evolution accounts for the fact that students are sometimes evaluated to the needs of their tests. Ultimately, this evolution creates an academic environment that empowers students to ask their foundations when it's needed. And I have to get an outline from my status here today.
Go for it. Fantastic. That was all he needed. He needed to make sure he did an intro so we could actually vote on it next week. So thank you guys for sitting through all the excitement of the meeting. And hopefully you will, if you're more than welcome to come back next week when we actually vote on this. I hope you do and speak your piece and answer the questions of the assembly members. The time is now 6:31, so we have extinguished the time in the meeting. If there are no objections, I'm going to move to adjourn the meeting at 6:31.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.